Chapter 8. "If you know what just happened, tell us," Barberin told Elisat. "Quickly!" The salamanders were only meters from the exit, but taking it was no longer a viable strategy. An unending river of orcs flowed in through the gate. There was no way out.
"There is a fragment of Kayla Mencha Kane, our god of war, on the planet. The orcs respond to it, and it to them. If a being as powerful as the orc warlord were to come into direct contact with the shard, he would be invincible."
"He's doing a passable imitation of that state now," Neelius said, as the overfiend continued to shrug off bolter rounds. He was seconds away.
"The shard is still distant. That orc is but a shadow of what he will become."
"He lives, and that means he can die," said Nkrumah. He revved his chainsword and plunged through the orc ranks to meet the overfiend, Gorva and Eligius at his heels. The sudden burst took the orcs by surprise. They stumbled back before the charge, but where the blow of a storming salamander should have stunned senseless any orc caught in its path, these creatures, touched by the ravening divine, shrugged off the hit. As the trio closed with the overfiend, he reached to his left and grabbed a thick exhaust pipe that stuck out of a nearby motor. He yanked the pipe free and swung it like a massive club. It smashed Nkrumah off his feet. It didn't kill him, and his greater mass bent the pipe in two, but he went down in the midst of the horde. They fell on him with axe and sword. Eligius aimed his chainsword at the exposed joint of the overfiend's upper leg. He never connected. Two barrels went off simultaneously. Slugs the size of cannon shells ripped the space marine apart, exploding out the back of his armor and disintegrating his skull. Gorva scored a hit, slicing between armor plates and into the orc's upper arm. Snarling, the overfiend lowered his head and rammed into the salamander. It was like being hit by an iron-clad boulder with stone column legs. The impact collapsed the right side of Gorva's armor, shattering his arm and the shell of his ribcage. His useless hand dropped his chain blade, but he stepped back, reached for his bolter, and brought it up one-handed. The point-blank mass-reactive barrage made the overfiend react, if only with yet greater rage. He smashed Gorva to the ground with the barrel of his shooter, then drove his foot onto the space marine's chest. A force equivalent to several tons punched through plate and bone, pulverizing Gorva's hearts. The supporting fire from the other salamanders counted for nothing. Tendons bursting as if he might explode with his own power, the overfiend seemed bigger yet. His minions were vulnerable, though, and half of the squad's fire was directed at the spot where Nkrumah had disappeared. However much they had partaken of a Xenos deity's communion, the orcs were still blasted into chunks of meat. Nkrumah staggered up from beneath a heaving, flailing mound of green. His helmet had been torn away, he was bleeding through dozens of gouges in his armor, and his left leg dragged as he lurched over the uneven surface. The overfiend could have been upon him in a single stride, or unloaded the shooter into his back. Instead, the monster ran past him, his eyes on Elisat. He shouldered Nkrumah aside with the force of a side-swiping torpedo. The salamander pitched into the mob of cheering orcs. Barberin ran to his aid, ploughing through greenskins with flamer on full, flanking the overfiend. Neleus shouted for a vox link to the verdict of the anvil. Berengus answered that the strike cruiser was locked in combat with an orc fleet. The last moment before the Overfiend's arrival was now. Time dilated as Hagaren ran a cold appraisal of the battlefield. He was on the ramparts of Heliosa, in the breached verdict again, seeing the inevitable, searching for the least bad option. Under current conditions, the Overfiend would slaughter the salamanders and retrieve his prisoner. So, change the conditions. Hagaren saw what he needed up a gradual slope, back deeper into the hold, a few hundred meters away. Impossible, but necessary. The Hagaren he had become approved the only strategy available. The echo of the Hagaren he had once been reveled in the madness of the act. He grabbed Elisat with his remaining grip arm. He leapt out of the trench and onto the box, knocking the flexible pipes into idiot nods, the Overfiend one stride away. Another leap across the trench, and he was scrabbling up the ridge of the dorsal fin. It was just thick enough for him to find his footing. The Overfiend was upon them. He was a colossus of rage, a mountain of iron and claws, tusks and fists. He swatted Neleus aside and lunged for Hagaren. His claws grasped at air as the tech marine leapt again. There was no Eldar grace in Hagaren's movements. Instead, there was power and weight, and that was what he needed. From the peak of the metal fin, he passed over the heads of the nearest orcs and landed midway up a teetering heap of discarded objects. Cylinders and polygons tumbled down the slope like old bones. Hagaren scrambled up to the top of the heap and tore down the other side. He stamped hard as he ran, keeping his feet in the treacherous, sliding metal. The orcs came after him from all sides. Flamer arm raised above his head, he rotated the nozzle, surrounding himself with a continuous stream of fire, keeping the horde at bay. His chain axe cut down any greenskin too slow or too foolish to get out of his way. Behind him, the Overfiend howled ever-escalating rage. The Juggernaut pounded in pursuit, the war drum beat of his iron boots shaking the deck. "Proximity to the Shard is the source of the Overfiend's current strength," he said to Elisat.
"It is."
The Eldar clung to the servo arm with fading strength. "So, this ship must leave Lepidus Prime's orbit." Elisat made a noise that was both agreement and disbelief.
"Hagaren! In Vulcan's name, what are you doing?"
Babarin was on the vox, his voice strained with the effort of combat.
"Acting on a surmise," Hagaren told him. "But I need time." "And how?" "By fire and metal."
His target loomed ahead.
"As befits a salamander,"
Babarin said. Hagaren noted the praise, filed it, concentrated on the immediate task. The opportunity was a gigantic blast furnace. Flames licked from the massive grill at its base. It nestled next to a mountain of scrap that rose to the roof of the hold. A conveyor belt tossed a steady stream of discards into the upper maw of the furnace. Molten metal ran in channels from the base, bathing the area in an orange-white glow. A dozen meters further on, molds of every eccentricity received the metal and shaped it into the objects desired by the operators of the experimental station. Abandoned in the frenzy of the war, the station was a junk pile of workbenches and tables, half-completed devices and burned-out failures.
The lunatic flights of orcish science were powered by an electrical station 10 meters high. It was a tight group of sparking, spitting pylons and arcing generators. The tops of immense dials on the generators were barely visible above the trash heaps, suggesting the devices were anchored to the deck itself. Hargaren's memory map of the power grid. There was a major node here. He was moving fast, but the Overfiend, his momentum building, was faster. The vibrations of his footsteps were growing. He was closing. Good. Hargaren used the plasma cutter on the blast furnace as he ran past, slicing it open about midway up its chimney. Gases vented, air rushed in, and reactions became uncontained. The furnace exploded. The shredded framework tore orcs apart as it shrieked across the hold. A searing wave of metal fell on Hargaren's pursuers. He glanced over his shoulder and saw the Overfiend stumble, raging at the burns that reached through his armor. He was a long way from dead, but he was brought to a stop. So he was where Hargaren wanted him when the next thing happened. Its base blown apart, the mountain of scrap trembled and collapsed. Metal shrieked on metal as thousands of tons of cataclysm swept to deck level. The Overfiend disappeared beneath the avalanche. As the creaks and roars of tumbling rubble faded, Hargaren could hear the monster battling his way out from the metal tomb. But Hargaren had his lead time. He reached the generators. He released Elisat, who collapsed against a workbench. The Eldar was scorched and bleeding, but alive. Hargaren approached the nearest generator. He pulled open a control panel and eyed the wiring inside. Monstrously crude, as ever, dangerously improvised, but somehow operational.
"Well done, brother," Babirin voxed. "We will be at your side momentarily."
"I will be immobile and rather preoccupied," Hargaren told him. "If you are able to keep me from being disturbed, I may be able to act on my surmise."
A moment of silence as Babirin wondered, perhaps, why Hargaren did not say outright what he planned. Then he said,
"Understood."
Maybe Babirin had guessed, or maybe he simply realized a huge risk was involved.
"Vulcan guide you, brother."
A valediction and an act of atonement.
"Thank you, brother."
The words were the expected ones, the correct ones to say. But even now, he still felt the disconnection from his earlier self and earlier friendships. The disconnection had not been Babirin's. It had been his.
"What are you?"
He could not pause for doubts. As at Heliosa, as on the verdict of the Anvil, there was one path to follow, and he took it. This was his fire of battle, the Anvil upon which he must not break. There was no time for a prayer, only an inarticulate reaching out to the Omnisire as Hargaren extended his mechadendrites and plugged himself into the generator, into the cruiser. As before, the ship's power grid opened before him like a nervous system hololith. As before, the ship's lifeblood was a torrent of electronic filth. The difference was that now Hargaren did not shield himself from the ship. He did not keep his distance from its Xenos insanity. He plunged into it. His consciousness fell into the bloodstream. His awareness ran everywhere. Deeper and deeper he went. He was no longer contemplating a grid. He was the grid. He was every electrical function of the ship. He was thousands upon thousands of individual devices. He was the useful and the broken, the vital and the trivial, the barely logical and the utterly mad. He was the distortions of technology clumsily pilfered from other civilizations, and he was the perverse creations of the orcs, inventions that had no right to work, but somehow did. He was the cruiser. What are you? Now the question was more pertinent than ever, and more vital. The otherness of the ship was a raging torrent, and it was a vast ocean. It tried to tear him apart, and it tried to drown him in its enormity. Since his first contact with the ship, it had been eating at his soul with the slow erosion of rust. Now it had swallowed him, and if he disappeared, his body would become just another elaborate object of forgotten use in the bottom hold of the ship. He fought for his self. He fought for his soul. What are you?
I am Hagaren. I am a tech marine. I am a salamander.
Three statements, three identities, and then the revelation, bright enough to give sight to the blind. Those were not three identities. They were one. The more completely he was one facet, the more completely he was all of them. The action he was engaged in was possible because of his transformation on Mars, and he was risking the greatest self-sacrifice possible for the good of his chapter. With realization came unity of identity, and with unity came strength. He remained Hagaren as he spread throughout the ship. He fought off the alien contamination. He became a virus himself. He claimed everything. Everything became him. He was not the cruiser. The cruiser was him. He was everywhere. He knew what moved and died in his vast new body. He felt the overfiend rise from his metal tomb and come to kill him. Orcs swarmed the salamanders, fighting them to a standstill. Nkrumor lived, but could barely move forwards. The choice came down to leaving either Nkrumor or Hagaren on his own. Barberin refused the choice.
"You know the way forward, brothers," he said.
Then he followed Hagaren's example, scrambling up the dorsal fin and hurling himself over the immediate ranks. A few meters on, and he was through any real resistance. Hagaren had culled the enemy well. Barberin came over the rise of the fallen mountain in time to see the overfiend shrug his way free. The beast thundered towards Hagaren, who stood motionless, tethered to a generator. Elisat tried to take the Space Marine's chain axe from his hands, but the fists were those of a statue and not to be opened. Barberin charged down the slope, and while still several meters from the base, he leapt. He landed on the overfiend's back. He hooked his knees around the overfiend's neck and raised his chainsword. Orc reinforcements were charging forwards, but they had some ground to cross. The avalanche had wiped out all the enemy in the immediate area. The salamanders had time. Time enough, Barberin vowed, to rid the galaxy of this abomination. He brought the chainsword down. It dug into the overfiend's flesh, but it struggled to find a purchase. The overfiend swung a massive fist back. It hit Barberin with the force of a wrecking ball. Hagaren did not see well inside the ship. Random flurries of data from dozens of sensors gave him a shadowy picture of the war in the hold. He knew the Overfiend was near. He knew the Orc was in combat, or else he would already be dead. He didn't know much more. But outside the ship, his vision was crystalline. He saw the Void War in all its balletic magnificence. Even the brute simplicity of the Orc ship attacks took on a rough grace when seen from the multifaceted eyes of the ship. Information was an ever-shifting torrent. Updates every fraction of a second showed the changing nature of the battle. War was an accumulation of millions of variables and conflicting vectors. It was the embodiment of the contingent, and the small but unforeseen event carried more weight than the great and predicted. He saw the verdict of the anvil at bay. The salamander's ship lashed at the swarm. Each strike of the lance, each torpedo launch, each gun volley was strategically placed and lethal. There were so many targets. The verdict eviscerated one Orc vessel after another. The void blistered with the roil of explosions, the death cries of warships. But even as the predator savaged its foe with its claws, so did it suffer its own wounds. The verdict of the anvil was bleeding. Its turns were sluggish. The flickering glow of uncontrolled fires licked at its hull. Hagaren saw dark patches where he should have seen the flash of guns and the stab of lances. Mulcibar had bought the verdict and the boarding party time, but the great predictable event of this war was the annihilation of the salamander's force. Hagaren became the unforeseen. He flexed the muscles of his new body. The blow knocked Babirin down into the debris. He jumped back up, head ringing. The Overfiend had turned to face him. The Orc brought his fist down hard enough to shatter marble. Iron fragments flew from the meteor impact. Babirin lunged, blade whirring at the Overfiend's face. The other salamanders had crossed the top of the hill of debris. They were almost here. They were too far. He had to give Hagaren a few more seconds. This was the anvil on which his destiny was being shaped. He would make sure it was a worthy one, worthy of the honor of being a salamander. The Overfiend's reflexes were demonic. A massive hand snatched up Babirin. The grip was adamantine. Babirin slashed the blade across the Xenos monstrosity's forehead. The Overfiend howled and crushed him into the scrap. It was like being hammered by a dreadnought's power fist. His helmet cracked in two. The Overfiend raised his fist. Babirin jerked up, rolled downslope. The fist came down on air and wreckage. Babirin stood and jabbed his chainsword between leg plates, sawing at the Orc's tendons. The Overfiend stumbled forwards and dropped to a knee. And still he was fast, faster than anything that huge had a right to be. He pivoted, shooter blasting out indiscriminate hell. Fast, too fast. Babirin caught the rounds in the chest, point blank. The first ones punched through his weakened armor. The others punched through him. Bone shattered, hearts punctured. He felt a terrible loosening inside him as the damage overwhelmed his body's ability to repair itself. There was a strange impression of liquid and a coldness that radiated from his core, freezing and numbing his limbs. Darkness followed the cold. He was plunging backwards into an infinite well, and the world was receding from his view. He clung to his sight as he collapsed into a seated position. He would know if he had succeeded. The Overfiend loomed over him, eyes glinting triumph. Then a terrible echoing moan racked the walls of the hold. There was a jerk like a mountain snapping out of sleep. The ship was moving. Barbarin grinned at the Overfiend.
"My brother has defeated you," he said.
The world vanished. Barbarin dropped into the dark and cold and accepted their promise of rest. Hagaren's will seized the cruiser's engines. It seized the steering. It seized the weapon banks. He merged even more deeply with the ship. The engines fired at full, flaring second daylight over the surface of Lepidus Prime. The hull screamed from the strain. The cruiser pulled away from its prey and shot towards the fleet. Its cannons blazed at the orc ships. When it blasted the stern from a brute, there was a moment of false calm in the war as confusion descended. And then chaos. Outraged crews fired at the cruiser. On other vessels, crews just as furious as the perceived mutiny unleashed savage counterattacks. Within seconds, the entire orc fleet was at war with itself. The void was filled with overlapping cannon fire and the tiny suns of disintegrating craft. From out of the disintegrating swarm came the verdict of the anvil. Bleeding oxygen and guttering fire, it ripped through the enemy ships, its lances and guns surrounding it with a halo of wrath. Hagaren had never had any use for chaos. It was anathema. Even its smallest, most subtle manifestation could be the sign of the great enemy at work. But this transformation of the void war, this was good. It was the routing of the Emperor's enemies. It was annihilation. It was glorious. He had done this. He, one soul, one mind, had created this vision of absolute destruction. As the first retaliatory strikes hit the cruiser, he felt a surge of incandescent aggression. The one directive of the universe was to smash and burn everything before him. Each hit on the hull was a gauntlet thrown. He would tear the enemy's heart out. He would sink his fangs into the throat of his prey. He would... What are you? The question was the faint but clear toll of iron on iron. The refrain had been repeated so many times. Metal folded over itself again and again, hammered and hammered, until it had a new unity of strength, a new identity. The question resounded with Barbarin's voice as though he were asking it for the first time, and it demanded an answer. What are you?
I am Tekmarine. I am Salamander. I am Hagaren.
I am losing my soul. He pulled out. The reality of the hold grasped him as he yanked his mechadendrites from the generator. He staggered, the orc taint leaving his self with reluctance. He felt shredded and hollowed out. He looked to his left and saw the Overfiend stride past Barbarin's crumpled figure. The monster was coming to collect his prize. The Overfiend paused. His expression changed from snarling omnipotence to enraged panic. As the ship powered away from the planet on the course Hagarin had commanded, what had entered the orcs now left, its reach overextended. Hagarin saw the overfiend wither before him, diminishing from god to mere monster. The hold echoed with the howl of despairing orcs. The overfiend's armor, lacking the power assist of its pistons, turned into a prison. The orc was wearing a ton of inert iron. He toppled forwards with a booming crash. They stared at each other for a moment, the fallen orc warlord and the space marine, who stood only because he didn't attempt to walk. The overfiend glared at Hagarin with the fury of thwarted destiny. Hagarin tried to raise a weapon, but his limbs and will were weak and drained. His servo arms hung as motionless. Bolter fire hammered into the overfiend's armor as the other salamanders came down the hill. Their aim was thrown as a massive seizure shook the deck and the walls of the hold. The cruiser was rocked by the cannons of its own fleet. The overfiend found the strength of desperation and struggled free of his armor. As he rose, a shell struck him in the shoulder. Instead of dropping him, it spurred him. The beast, still a gigantic monument of violence, but now raging impotence, tore past Hagarin in a limping sprint and disappeared into the gloom of the hold. The cruiser shook again, the battering even more insistent. The deck heaved. Towers of pointless mechanism collapsed. Even blessedly severed from his link to the ship, Hagarin could feel it begin to die. The orcs that had been charging to the aid of their ruler had lost all discipline. They were disappearing from the field of battle as quickly as they had arrived. They were routed, panicked, fleeing the destruction of their vessel. Hagarin took his first step as his battle brothers rejoined him.
"Barberin," he began. "He will live on," Nkrumah said. Hagarin nodded. So the harvest of Barberin's progenoid glands was complete. More explosions. Somewhere in the distance there was the ominous sound of wind. The hull had been breached. Berengus said,
"Contact from the verdict of the anvil. A Thunderhawk is on its way. It needs a location."
The cruiser's every bolt was clear in Hagarin's mind. He knew the ship as he knew the verdict. He set aside thoughts of being tainted and said,
"There is a loading bay close at hand, one deck up."
He gave Berengus the coordinates to pass on to the Thunderhawk. Prisoner in tow, the salamanders plunged through the maelstrom of the agonized ship. It was as if the madness of the hold had spread throughout the hull. Corridors fell into pits of fire. Walls twisted under terminal strain and heat. Smoke choked the passageways. The light was the light of ending, flickering red and shrieking white. And filling the air was the song of a ship breaking up, a hellish choir of screaming metal punctuated by the deep, internal, fatal arrhythmia of explosions. Hagarin led the way. There were no secrets in the Iron Warren anymore, and he countered every blocked path with an alternative route. There was no hesitation, no delay. He had been shaped into the necessary weapon for this war, and he used the Xenos knowledge to guide his brothers out of the cruiser as it succumbed to the purity of flame. The docking bay was in the grip of a hurricane. The Thunderhawk, Mount Deathfire, had blasted its way into the bay, and the cruiser's atmosphere was pouring itself into the void. Elisat collapsed, gasping for air. Hagaren carried him the rest of the way to the gunship. As the Mount Deathfire pulled away from the cruiser, Hagaren watched through a viewing block as the Orc flagship underwent its death throes. By this point, it was no longer taking fire, and its own guns had fallen silent. Its engines were dark. It drifted now, its frame pulsing with the bursts of the fires that raced down its arteries. Those would fade too, as the air finished venting from the dozens of breaches. It did not die with fury and glory. It burned to an ember, a broken shell. It would soon be a husk, a broken tombstone to its master's ambition. Neleus emerged from the cockpit. He had removed his helmet, and his face was lined with exhaustion, less from the loss of his arm than from the toll of the fallen.
"Word from our captain," he announced. "The Orc fleet, what is left of it, is in full retreat."
"Then the Overfiend is dead?" Nkrumor asked.
"No," Hagaren put in. "A retreat means they stopped fighting each other. Someone imposed order. They still have their leader."
"Many small craft were seen escaping the cruiser," Neleus said. "But if he lives, his designs on this system have been crippled."
He turned his head to look at the prisoner.
"And we will destroy what was calling to the greenskins."
Elisat said nothing. Hagaren glanced at the Eldar and saw a being who had little to benefit from in his change of captors. He turned his attention back to the viewing block. The Orc ship was going dark, disappearing into the night of the void. He was catching his last sight of Barbirin's grave. He asked the question on his brother's behalf. "What am I?" He knew the answer for now, but he also knew that answer would continue to change. He had been able to kill the ship because of how much of the flesh and of the human he had surrendered. "Remember the human," Barbirin had said. So he would. But one could only remember what one no longer possessed. The path of this destiny was clear. He must transform. Contact with the cruiser had left him with a spiritual cancer. He felt it gnawing and must burn it away. He must throw himself into the forge until he became the most perfect weapon in the service of his chapter and his emperor. Before the process was done, what had once been Hagaren would be as dead as his brother, but they would both be remembered.